Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We actually do have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. All brought to you by a brand new sponsor, Keeps. Stop that hair loss today the easy way with Keeps for about $1 a day from the comfort of your couch. Keeps.com/martini. More on that a little bit later in the podcast. And Jim, we keep hearing about how it's a difficult midterm election cycle for Republicans, and that is most certainly true. Even the Senate Majority Leader, as we explained yesterday, is not overly optimistic that he will remain the Majority Leader. But as you have pointed out, there are some positive numbers in terms of the way the American people are thinking about some critical issues. Kind of a poll roundup here. Let's start with assault weapons. Obviously, that's a big push now in the wake of the high school shooting in Florida, that it's time to get rid of the guns, especially the dangerous ones, the AR-15s, the ones that can supposedly kill more people than the other ones. But the assault weapons ban went into place in 1994. At the time, 80% supported it. Right now, 50% support it, 46% opposed, according to a Washington Post ABC News poll. So not exactly the national consensus that the left would have us believe. What's more, Americans are fairly unified in seeing mass shootings as a mental health problem, much less so than seeing as a problem with gun laws or the Second Amendment. Asked about mass shootings more broadly, the public says by roughly 2-1 that they reflect problems identifying and treating people with mental health problems rather than inadequate gun control laws. Fully 8 in 10 Republicans say mass shootings are mainly reflective of problems dealing with mental health issues, as do more than 6 in 10 independents. A slight majority of Democrats, 52%, say they mainly reflect inadequate gun laws. So it's even not a monolithic position on the Democratic side. Let's move on to tax cuts. Remember how unpopular those were before it actually passed? Well, now people see the bumped up paychecks. 51% of Americans, that's a majority, now approve of the tax law, while 46% disapprove. And so that has radically changed from last fall. So, Jim, don't know necessarily how well this will translate to votes, but with these major debates going on over guns and mental health and some other things, it's good to see that the American people have a more balanced view of this than the media would have us believe.
Yeah, the number that really jumps out at me on that poll, Greg, is the number on the assault weapons ban. Look, you might say, oh, you know, 50% support, 46% opposed. That's good news for Democrats who strongly support the assault weapons ban. When was the last time you heard anyone on television news, on your newspaper editorial board, op-ed page? When's the last time you heard someone argue, actually, no, this is, you know, the assault weapons ban was in place from 94 to 2004. Columbine shootings occurred during this time. Mostly what it did was it banned the various tools you could use in your gun, muzzle flash suppressors, folding stocks, things like that. It didn't ban them entirely. It simply you couldn't put more than one of them on a particular type of gun. If you listen to this podcast or you read National Review or you listen to Radio America or various other places, you probably have heard those points. My guess is you don't. If you watch a lot of television news or a lot of other venues for discussion of the gun issue. My sense is, you know, that since this awful shooting in Florida, it has been just a relentless drumbeat. You know, you must, you know, the assault weapons ban, pass the assault weapons ban. Why haven't we done this? Isn't it terrible, Congress? You know, you'd think the numbers would be better. And it's, I think it says something when it says there was 80% support in 1994. People thought it would work. People thought that, okay, great, we're not going to have gun violence anymore. And while gun crimes as a whole went down, as mentioned, you didn't see this dramatic change. And so I think it's also – they also point out that there's really no change in the numbers since 2016. I also thought it was very interesting, the numbers about parents with children under 18 living at home. Parents actually 51% are, you know, supportive of letting teachers carry firearms. Amongst parents on the assault weapons ban, it's only supported by 46% and 51% oppose it. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that this idea, oh, if you had a child, you'd understand that. Well, actually, parents are more skeptical of gun control than the media coverage would suggest. And yet there is this broad bipartisan belief that this, you know, this really is a mental health issue, that we are failing people who are fairly obvious threats to themselves or to others, that we need better screening, we need more resources, we need a better way to intervene before the person picks up a gun and intends to do someone harm. You would think that if there's a broad bipartisan consensus on this, and this is an area we should, you know, move forward on, that this would be a point to start with, that this would be something where you don't have to fight this long protracted partisan battle. But then again, if you don't really want to solve the problem and you mostly want to have a wedge issue for the midterms, well, I guess we know where you're going to focus your efforts. On the tax cuts, I'm sure listeners, Greg, probably feel like we talk about, oh, better numbers for the tax cuts at least once a week around here, except that's what the polling numbers are telling us. And I think it kind of, you know, is an indication that one, these policies do work, that if you believe in the policies, you should pass them and let people enjoy the benefits, let your critics and those on the other side look like fools. And I made this point in the Jolt here, Greg. So Remy, the guy who does these hilarious videos for Reason magazine, did a little music video in which the slogan was "People will die." And he pointed out that, you know, how often that is a rallying cry for or against various legislation. If you disagree with me, you just want people to die. It does seem like at times House Democrats have used that as a how-to manual. They made this argument about the tax cuts, about neutrality. We're seeing it end through gun control. I think they've gone to this well one time too often, and I think the argument has really lost its effectiveness. You cannot cry wolf every time. And when the people start enjoying the benefits of the tax cuts, they probably think less of those who argued it was going to kill people. I should point out, however, Greg, that my colleague Jonah Goldberg pointed out this poll result on tax results could be suspect because it's survivor's bias. they're not polling all the people that were killed by the tax cuts, so that's why it's a little more popular.
No wonder those numbers stay on the upswing. All right, let's move to the bad martini now, Jim. And remember the days when elections had consequences? Back in 2010, it was a good year for Republicans. Republicans won control of the Pennsylvania legislature and the Pennsylvania governorship with a guy named Tom Corbett. And so once the 2010 census numbers were all in, those people got to decide what the congressional boundaries looked like for the next decade in Pennsylvania. Well, Democrats have now decided that that's unconstitutional gerrymandering. The districts just don't fall nicely along county lines and natural boundaries and yada, yada, yada. So the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago, which definitely tilts to the left, said that, yes, this map is unconstitutional. It's unfair. It's gerrymandered. We're giving the Republican legislature, what was it, a couple of weeks to come up with a new map. And if Governor Wolf, who's now a Democrat who won in 2014, doesn't like it, we're going to draw the new map. Well, shock of all shocks, the Democratic governor did not like the Republican redrawn map, so therefore the court decided. Now we have a new map, which definitely tilts towards the Democrats. Right now, out of the 18 House members, 13 are Republicans, or at least were won by Republicans in the last cycle, 5 by Democrats. CNN is trying to tell everybody that not much has really changed, but New York Magazine, which doesn't even try to pretend it's balanced here, says Pennsylvania's Supreme Court issued a new redrawn map of the state's congressional districts on Monday, and it looks very good for Democrats. The map, which the court had ordered after ruling that the current version is overly partisan, does away with the wackily shaped districts that are the hallmarks of gerrymandering. It features contiguous districts that split far fewer counties, and as a bonus, is far easier on the eyes. Now, Josh Kroshauer, who was looking at this yesterday on Twitter, Jim, pointed out that, yes, it does seem to fall naturally along county boundaries and so forth, but the court was very careful to make little pockets here and there for partisan advantage for the Democrats, and now it looks as though out of the 18 seats, the Democrats have a legitimate shot at least 11 of them. So I remember after 2008, Jim, that elections had consequences. Apparently that only works in one direction.
Well, Greg, I'm just kind of struck by this amazing discovery by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Gerrymandering is bad. This goes back to the original lines going back to the 1700s, if I'm remembering correctly, right, Greg? I mean, this we've seen, you know, Democratic state legislatures redrawing state district lines to maximize partisan, Illinois did it for a lot of years. Massachusetts, I believe, is where it originally comes from. They've had fights over Virginia for a long time. They had arguments about majority-minority districts, and all of a sudden Republicans liked it once they realized they could put a whole bunch of African-American Democrats in one district and lose that district forever, but also draw a whole bunch of other districts that would then be majority Republican because of that. Wait a second, you're telling me that there's politics going on in a political process, Greg? What happens? Quick, somebody call the cops. Barack Obama, the munificent sun god who descended into the presidency, went to this special room in Springfield, Illinois, where they had everything down to the residents so that, you know, every Illinois Democratic state legislator could draw their district exactly the way they wanted to maximize their partisan advantage and things like that. Wait, you're telling me this is bad? This is wrong? This is something the courts have to step in and stop? Gee, it's amazing how it just only came occurred once Republicans started it, having the advantage in some of these states. Look, I don't like partisan redistricting to maximize advantages. And if you want to gripe about it, fine. If you want to try to make it contiguous to county lines, fine. It is worth noting that the argument about the partisan advantage for redistricting does change over time, because generally you only do it once a decade and people move. So decade, you know, districts that start out heavily Republican on one side of the state, you know, tend to drift in this a little bit. By the end of the decade, these districts aren't as rock solid as they once appeared to be. Look, if the Democrats, you know, I don't see what the Democratic state Supreme Court is doing is any different from what the Republican legislature did. The only difference is which side is benefiting. And it says something that everybody who denounced the old lines for maximizing partisan advantage are now cheering for the new lines because they maximize partisan advantage. It basically is redistricting is, you know, for partisan advantage is wrong when the other guys do it. When our side does it, it's perfectly okay. And it's pretty appalling hypocrisy and one of the reasons people are very cynical about politics, Greg.
Exactly. Republicans in Pennsylvania and even national Republicans might be challenging this in court, but I think they might have an uphill climb here because it was a state issue that was at play here and not a federal issue. So we'll see ultimately if they at least get a stay for this current election cycle. The bottom line here, though, is win some elections. If you want to change the map, win some elections. I mean, you want to look at a just torturously drawn congressional district map, look at Maryland, because the Democrats control things there and they've managed to squeeze out Republicans all the way down to one district in the state. And Larry Hogan, the governor, desperately wants to change it. But you know what? You got to win some legislative seats if you want to do that. And so I would say the same thing to Republicans in Maryland. If you don't like it, start winning some stuff. And the real kicker here, Jim, is we got this special election in the 18th district here in a little bit to replace Tim Murphy, who resigned because he tried to get his mistress to get an abortion when he thought she was pregnant, and he's pro-life. Neither of these guys actually live in the district they're running to represent if this map holds up.
Elect me to be your congressman for a little while. You need me there in Congress representing you for a couple of weeks, couple of months, if that. So, look, if you don't like me, I'm out of your district soon anyway.
Man, this is going to be a fun battle here. Let's talk about keeps. Hair loss is not just your dad's problem, and it happens earlier in life than a lot of people think. By the age of 35, 2 out of 3 men will start losing their hair. But hair loss is actually easy to prevent if you get started early. Now introducing Keeps, a new company offering a simple, clinically proven, affordable way to stop hair loss. With Keeps, it's easier than ever for guys like you to keep your hair.
Now remember, Keeps is the easiest way to keep your hair. It offers the only 2 hair loss products that are clinically proven to keep the hair you have. You can sign up in less than 5 minutes, and it's entirely online. Now this costs, you know, anywhere from $10 to $35 a month. So that's basically about $1 a day or less on average. Now that's half of what you would usually pay at the pharmacy.
Getting started with Keeps is so easy. You just answer a few questions and snap some photos. A licensed doctor remotely reviews your information and gives you the right prescription, all without you ever having to leave your couch. Within 2 to 3 days, a 3-month supply of your treatment will arrive perfectly packaged at your door. So stop hair loss today the easy way with Keeps, offering customized treatment plans with the only clinically proven hair loss products for about $1 a day from the comfort of your own home. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/martini. That's KEEPS.com/martini. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/martini. Keeps, hair today. All right, Jim, let's move to our crazy martini now. And we talked a little bit earlier this month when the media was fawning all over North Korea, and particularly the cheer squad, that and you made the point, hey, you think these people are cute? Well, guess what? They're slaves. And if they screw up, they could get in a lot of trouble back home. In fact, some folks who were on a cheer squad in South Korea a number of years ago actually came home and started talking about the experience, and they were sent to prison camp. So think about that while you're extolling the virtues of the smiles of Kim Jong-un's sister. But now there's this from Fox News. As North Koreans return home this week from the Pyeongchang Winter Games, possibly without any medals, Olympians hope to avoid the gulags, a fate of the losers of the 1966 World Cup that were believed to have been experienced. 22 North Koreans participated in the 2018 Olympics with the support of the nation's hand-picked cheering squad for the regime's ninth representation in Winter Games. Competing in figure skating, skiing, and ice hockey as part of a joint team with South Korea, the country has failed to medal in any event. Surely disappointing leader Kim Jong-un, whose family allegedly sentenced the failed World Cup athletes to concentration camps for a loss back in 1966. A survivor of the North Korea gulags, according to the UK's Daily Star, wrote about meeting the World Cup squad at the Yadok Gulag, where the team reportedly said they were imprisoned for losing 5-3 to Portugal. In 2010, the losing North Korea World Cup team reportedly endured a six-hour grand debate in which they were criticized for their betrayal of the trust of Kim Jong-un. Jim, once again, we're probably not going to know if this happens or not, if these athletes are punished. But the fact that this sort of thing happens and the media largely ignores it, and God help any family member of any athlete who would try to defect here in the next few days, hopefully the bloom would be off the rose with the media's love affair with this communist regime, but I doubt it.
You know, Greg, we've got about a week of the Olympics left. You and I have griped about NBC News and NBC Sports and how they've kind of played along with the agitprop for the North Korean regime. Look, I think they can make up for it in this closing couple of days just by calling a little bit more attention to this, Greg. And I don't think we need even a special report or anything particularly detailed. I just want the announcers to acknowledge this. Next time we're watching ice dancing, you know, you see them. Oh, tough break for the North Korean ice dancing team. That's going to lose them some points, and their family's going to the gulag. That's tough. When you, it looks like the skates conflicted. They came tumbling down to the ice, and it's doom for their families. That's a really rough break. You hate to see it happen to someone so young and with so many siblings, Greg.
The Americans have had a fairly disappointing games. We've failed to medal in a lot of events we were supposed to. And as much as a lot of these people hate President Trump, guess what? He's probably not going to send you to prison. In fact, I guarantee it.
The tragedy for an American is, you know, you lose the Wheaties box. Ah, you're not going to be in the Toyota commercial, you know. Like, oh, bummer. You know, like, all in all, the consequences for defeat in America, not that bad. You know, I'm saying this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but yes, it would be kind of good, particularly if you're going to do the, yes, slay queen, you know, praise of the of Kim Jong-un's sister. You probably could spend a little time mentioning, you know, North Korean policies like this. So, hey, good dark note to end the day on, right, Greg?
Yeah, they could do that. They could point that out, but I'm sure they'll be criticizing Ivanka Trump at the closing ceremonies instead. Jim, you are out the rest of the week for CPAC. Enjoy your time there. Alexander DeSantis will be in for Jim tomorrow. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And to get started on keeping your hair, it's keeps.com/martini. And tune in again Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.